European governments say they'll protect companies from US legal action if they continue doing business with Iran. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. As new US sanctions against Iran take effect today, targeting autos and key metals, President Trump tweeted just minutes ago, anyone trading with Iran will not trade with the US. Kasra Naji is special correspondent for the BBC's Persian TV.
The fact is that the European countries, including Britain, France, Germany, the EU, they issued a very strongly worded statement yesterday saying that they do not go along with these unilateral sanctions by the US. They want to keep the nuclear deal and they want to make sure that European companies will continue to work in Iran. But for the European companies, it's a choice between doing business with the US or doing business with Iran, because these are secondary sanctions, which means any company dealing with Iran is going to come under US sanctions. Therefore, they are in a bind, and I don't think these companies are going to risk it.
We've seen a number of protests in Iran in recent weeks over the state of the economy already. How much worse is it going to be when these sanctions take hold?
It's very unpredictable. We've had very serious street protests against the clerical regime in Iran, a sign of widespread discontent. Many people are under a great deal of pressure. The value of the Iranian rial is falling rapidly. It's lost about 70% of its value this year alone, which means prices of goods, including essential goods, are pretty high. Unemployment is a major issue, and the shortages of everything almost ahead of these sanctions. Just imagine what things would look like after the sanctions.
Kasra Naji, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are solidly higher. Asia shares ended in the green despite simmering US-China trade tensions, while Germany's DAX is the biggest European gainer, up more than 1%. Saudi Arabia's state airline Saudia has said it will suspend flights to and from Canada's largest city, Toronto, amid a diplomatic spat between the two countries. The BBC's Paul Blake reports.
The flight cancellations are just one of several measures the kingdom is taking after it accused Canada of violating its sovereignty. Ottawa said last week that it was concerned by reports that several civil and women's rights activists had been detained in recent weeks. Since then, relations have abruptly and rapidly deteriorated. The Saudis have described Canada's comments as blatant interference in their domestic affairs. They've suspended educational exchange programs, kicked out the Canadian ambassador, and banned any new trade between the countries.
Saudi activist Manal al-Sharif recently left the country. She says economic reforms can't be achieved there without greater political freedoms.
A country is trying to diversify its economy, and they're calling the foreign investors to invest in Saudi Arabia. And without women being part of the workforce, being part of the economy, you cannot go anywhere. The vision that you have for the 2030 that the Crown Prince advocate about, and he traveled around the world to promote that new picture of Saudi Arabia, it's all been in contradiction with what's happening. If you don't allow freedom of speech in your country, if you don't go and push for political reforms, the economical reforms will not succeed.
Manal al-Sharif. Whether or not you work on Wall Street, a new theatrical production in London is letting you play the role of a banker, betting on the world economy. The BBC's Vincent Dowd has more.
The market is open.
It may not quite work on radio, but in print, the title Lies spells out the familiar symbols for sterling, yen, euro and dollar. Belgian director Alexander De Vint first contemplated the show after the 2008 financial crisis. For 2 hours, we're looked after by croupier Hannah. Her mini-seminars are helping us negotiate the perils of Planet Banker, we hope.
Going short allows you to speculate against the success of an investment.
We proto-bankers make initially straightforward bets on the world economy, not paying much attention for now to other tables around us. Alexander De Vrint says real bankers have played and expressed approval.
The funny thing is that they always said, like, even in the simplified version, yep, that's about it. That's the game.
And I think we don't want to risk a hyperinflation right now, because then the value of the assets will drop dramatically.
Tension is really rising. Each table has had to choose a financial chief to guide us. Ours is the Almeida Theatre's associate director, Rob Ike.
It's based on guesstimate and instinct more than it is on expertise.
Tables now competing against table, and credit ratings have been introduced. Figures appear out of the dark, offering ways out of the enveloping crisis.
You're going to vote for yourself, right? No? Not interested? You sure?
The black table is not buying any black.
Angelo Tysons is one of the performers. He says lies wouldn't work as blatant banker bashing. It has to make people ask what they would do in the same situation.
We literally give people the same tools, no matter who comes in, no matter who sits around their table, to look at the system from the inside.
The last 15 minutes is shouty, murderous chaos. It's supposed to be. After all, we're witnessing the collapse of the global banking system. Frightening, but fun. Lies is about to be seen in Austria, and there's a big French tour planned. There's already a Russian version, and Hong Kong is next. Devastating financial collapse, clearly, is going to run and run.
Vincent Dowd. And finally, a little childhood flashback. The new Disney film Christopher Robin has been denied a release in China, where Winnie the Pooh is used on social media to avoid censorship when discussing President Xi Jinping. In London, I am Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.